listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame. All right. Well, good morning. I guess it's a good afternoon for you there. So good to talk to you again.
Yeah. And you, Jeff? Hope you're having a good week.
Yeah, definitely. So it will be a smaller Christmas, but probably something similar to what we did for Thanksgiving around here, where it's just the two of us, my wife and I and her mom. The kids are 700 miles away, unfortunately, in New Mexico. So we won't be seeing them, but they'll be, I guess they're going to be getting together with each other and my mom. And so that will be good.
Yeah.
That's
good. Yeah. So isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. And I assume that you're going to be doing kind of something similar yourself, smaller.
Yeah. I'm not seeing any family. We are allowed in the UK to spend time with two or three other households, I think, over Christmas. But we're not taking the risk because there's going to be some backlash on that. So yeah, just us at home, small one, quiet one, but exciting nonetheless, because my boy's still reading Santa. So
Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, today we decided we were going to talk about clean eating and detoxing. And these are two topics that come up so much this time of year, this whole new year, new me thing. People using this sort of arbitrary January 1st date is going to be the first day of the rest of my life kind of thing, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's great when we get some kind of a motivation, something that drives us to make a change in our life. But often, way too often, the way that people get started is by a combination of these clean eating, detoxing, magic supplements, whatever it is. So we thought that this would be a great topic to talk about today.
Yeah, because I think we agreed, didn't we, that we'd try and do some myth busting in the upcoming episodes. And what better to start at this time of year with the two biggest kind of, I guess, confusing topics around nutrition that are very timely, I think. And I think it is almost like people see eating clean or detoxing as a kind of get out clause for stuffing their faces and overdoing it over Christmas because they've probably been restricting or dieting all year. So I think, just to kind of talk about the reality of it and the facts of it. I mean, we spoke last time about actually how you can enjoy Christmas without taking that approach, taking a much more balanced approach. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if we talk about, which one do you want to start with? Should we start talking about eating clean? And what even does eating clean mean, Jeff?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start, because that is, it sounds good on the surface. I'm going to start eating clean. Clean eating. It sounds healthy. It sounds good. And so that's where so many people often start. And I think that that's a misguided starting point. There's nothing wrong with eating clean or cleaner or better or eating organic or whatever, you know, cutting out certain things. There's nothing wrong with that nutritionally speaking, but there's a big problem when that's your focus.
Yeah, and I think the thing with me when it comes to clean eating is, like I said, you know, what does it even mean? Because to me, it's just a lot of misconceptions. And actually, people that, you know, advocate clean eating don't agree. Because what does it mean? What does it mean to you? Does it mean that you should only eat unprocessed foods? Does it mean that you should only eat organic foods? Does it mean that you should only eat raw foods? There are so many different takes on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But then what's considered clean?
Yes, exactly. I think the only main commonality or the only theme that runs throughout it from my perspective, I don't know if you agree, is that it always excludes a food or a food group because it's telling you what not to eat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's the whole focus of it. And some people may say, no, the focus is on all of the good things to eat. And I'm not saying everybody takes this approach, but the way it trickles down to the average person is these things are bad and I need to take them out if I want to be eating clean. as opposed to a focus on what changes can I make, what improvements can I make, what can I do to benefit myself, benefit my body. It's always this, well, this food's bad, that food's bad, that food's bad. You got to take those out. And then if you want to eat them, then it's considered a cheat. So you cheat on your clean diet.
Yeah.
And there's just, it's very twisted mentality in from my perspective.
Definitely. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't be focusing on whole foods. You know, they should favor whole foods in their diet, but I think it's about kind of making them the most part, but not the only part. Also including other foods in there that are good for you emotionally, psychologically. We've talked about this a lot before, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I think I'd like to just kind of delve a little bit into kind of some of the misconceptions around clean eating as well in terms of organic. You know, some people think that they have to eat organic, but even organic, you know, this whole idea of you've got to eat organic, that is very often overplayed as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. And I think my main issue with organic is that there's a lot of hype around it. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of nonsensical claims that aren't backed by evidence. Absolutely. And so we can acknowledge that organic, I guess, you know, some studies have shown that they have about 30% less or 30% fewer chemicals on those products sometimes. Again, it depends on the specific food, and you know, we could spend a whole episode going into that, but we won't do that here. So there is something to it. There are less chemicals on organic food, and so, you know, you could think of it from that perspective and say, well, these chemicals are certainly not beneficial to me, and so if I can reduce that's probably technically a little bit healthier. But the problem is that there isn't any strong research or evidence that these additional chemicals are causing any major issues, at least from a population level, or not that a particular individual might not react to something. You know, we're not talking about that, but there's this reduction in there. And I think that if you can afford organic and you have it available, go for it. Yeah. But the problem is that when you get fixed on that and think, I have to eat organic, now you start to feel guilty if you can't afford it, if you can't find it. Maybe you avoid certain foods because you can't find them in an organic version. And then often the organic label is just thrown around with this health halo effect.
Yeah.
So you have, so you have these things that say they're organic and you think, oh, that must be healthy. It's like, well, organic energy drink. I had that. I saw this. Yeah. You know, they have organic. It's like Bang energy drink. That's just basically a bunch of caffeine and some artificial sweetener. And they're like, oh, well, this is natural and organic because it uses stevia and organic. I don't even know what you would refer to as organic in an energy drink, but I think you get the picture. So.
Absolutely. Well, it's clever marketing. Let's just say that. And I think I wanted to draw on a point you said there about how they have fewer chemicals, fewer pesticides, because some people think that they have none. Some people are buying organic, misinformed, thinking that they, you know, and you, like you said, they do. And often as well, they use natural pesticides, which again, aren't any better for the environment either. So, you know, you may be choosing to eat organic for ethical reasons, but again, they've been overplayed, I think. And the health benefits of organic per se, you know, there's no evidence there to show that it, you know, that there is any health benefits as such. But like you said, you know, because obviously eating fresh whole foods, whether organic or not, is going to improve your health.
Right.
And I think, and this is the thing that we've got to always bear in mind when we're working with our clients, is that we take the whole person into consideration. So we take their economic situation into consideration as well. And I've had clients that come to me saying, I can't eat healthy because I can't eat organic. And I could cry because, you know, they believe that eating healthy is expensive because they've been told that they've got to eat organic. And you do not. You need to focus on, possibly do need to focus more on whole foods, but you need to be doing it in a way that is affordable and accessible for you.
Right. Yeah, because that's another facet of our health is our economic health. Excellent. And we have to take that into consideration. If we're sacrificing other areas, if we're causing stress in our family economically because we're now doubling or tripling our food budget because now we're buying all organic and we're buying all grass-fed beef and those kinds of things. Again, there's nothing wrong with it if it's not impacting your pocketbook in a way that matters to you. But for some people, if that's where your focus is, you have your focus in the wrong area, especially at the beginning. I've seen a number of people who they decide to make a change. And the first thing they do is they throw out all their food and they go buy, replace it with all organic stuff. And, you can think of gluten-free as the same thing. There's all kinds or all natural, whatever category you want to talk about, they all kind of fall into the same sort of category here, where it's kind of a misguided approach to, at the very least, getting started. Yeah. So what would you say would be the important place to start if not clean eating?
Yeah, well, again, I think it's about sticking to the basics, looking at where you can begin to incorporate more whole and fresh foods. I always talk to clients, like I've spoke to you before, we've spoken on this podcast before, about what you need to be including more of. Now, I am not saying that you do not need to include more fresh foods, but you do not need to be taking this idea, this approach that you have to eat clean. And, but again, like I said, some people sit, when they say eat clean, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are just eating completely unprocessed foods all of the time. It might just mean that they are cleaning their diet up. So they're still having some processed foods, but they're incorporating more fruits, vegetables, legumes, etc., which is great. But for other people, they can take, clean eating to the other end of the spectrum. And I think as soon as you start to think that a food is bad, as soon as you start to eliminate a food that you enjoy, eliminating a food because it doesn't make you feel good or you react to it, fair enough. But eliminating a food because you see it as bad or something to avoid, or, as soon as you start to do things like that, that's when you need to be thinking about really the approach that you're taking. And if you're doing it, thinking that it is, if it's not from, because a lot of people will choose not to eat certain foods, for ethical reasons, etc., which is absolutely fine. But if you're doing it just because you think it's going to improve your health or help you to lose weight, which is the next thing I want to come on to, then you're probably not doing it for the right reasons or from the right place. And it will have an effect on your social and emotional functioning.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%.
And I think this is the next thing I wanted to touch on, is that as well, people think I'm going to eat clean and I'm automatically going to lose weight. Well, no, because even though you're eating clean, you're still eating calories.
Yes.
You could actually eat a completely unclean diet, a totally processed diet, and lose weight quicker than you would do if you were eating a very good clean diet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, we have those examples from a few of these small studies where they're kind of unequal one studies where a person ate Twinkies for 60 days, Twinkies and protein shakes, and that's all they ate or something. Or the McDonald's diet guy who he ate nothing but McDonald's for and lost weight. And so we can see that can happen. Of course, that's certainly not advisable because there's so many reasons why that's would not be an appropriate way to go about your nutrition. But the same thing, it illustrates the fact that it's not so much the types of foods or the kinds of foods that we eat that cause the weight loss. It's really that the amount of food, the amount of energy that we take in, the calorie content of that food, that's going to make that big difference. Now, it's not to say that these different kinds of foods don't have a different effect on our body, which makes it easier to lose weight or healthier, healthier for our bodies. But again, coming back to that, what's the difference between non-organic and organic when it comes to the bulk of the benefits that you get from, let's say, fruits and vegetables? And, really nothing. You still get the bulk of the benefit from you get the satiety factor, you get the fiber that's good for your gut, you get all of the vitamins and minerals. Organic does not have any more vitamins and minerals. And in fact, some of these modified different plants, they are actually bred in such a way that they're more nutritious. And so there's just this misconception on yeah. what you get from going with clean or organic. And I mean, even frozen foods are another example. They're not fresh technically, but they're just as nutritious bags of frozen vegetables as they are when they're fresh. And so again, that can be another factor that you find very helpful because they're cost effective. I can buy a pound of mixed vegetables for a dollar here in the US, where it would cost me several dollars to buy fresh. And I get the same nutrient content and the convenience of it. I don't have to prep anything. I just dump it in a pan and cook it and it's ready to go. So lots of factors like that can really make this whole weight loss, improving your diet and nutrition much, much easier if you get to the basics, stick to the big picture items.
Yeah, definitely. What you said there about the frozen and the fresh, I nearly did a post about that today because I don't know if you saw, but Elf on the Shelf got the frozen peas out. And so I did a little post on it, but I wanted to go on and talk about fresh and frozen because people automatically think fresh is always best and it's not always the case. You know, for me, you know, I do one big shop a week and actually if I buy some fresh food, like 7 or 10 days before I eat it, I probably would have been better off just getting some frozen and having that straight out the freezer when I need to be topping up again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there are plenty of foods, and even my kids said it when we did a podcast with them, that actually, you know, foods are left on the shelves in the supermarkets for a long time, so they lose their nutrients. The longer they're picked, the quicker that they begin to, as soon as a fruit or vegetable is picked or produce is picked, it begins to lose its nutrients. So sometimes when they're frozen straight away, it maintains the nutrients so we can get more health benefits out of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I think the thing is, and it comes down to this, you know, this, it's the same underlying principle is whenever you go for, you know, we should never be looking at extremes. Mm-hmm. Okay. We should always be looking at the middle of the road and having a balance. And, you know, yes, of course, we're not advocating that you eat a overly processed diet at all. But we're also, you know, being realistic about the fact that eating clean does not necessarily provide the health benefits emotionally, socially, economically, etc., that we would expect.
Yeah. So what would you say would be a better way to focus? You know, some people are thinking clean because they want to clean up their diet. And yeah. So where would you say is the number one place to focus then if somebody is just really wanting to kind of clean up their diet and improve on those things and put more healthy foods into their body, obviously see some weight loss occur. That's such a common thing.
Which would happen if people look at, you know, weight, if somebody is overweight, if somebody is overeating and has to and does, you know, and needs to lose weight, that will happen if they do look at that, if they start to analyze their eating behaviors and what is dictating that. And I think this is the whole thing about, you know, when you get in your head that you need to eat clean, you then behave in a certain way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's all about unpicking what's going on in the mind to then impact on the behaviors and the choices that you make, if that makes sense. But to come back to what you said about you know, what should someone focus on, that's a very broad question because everybody has a different starting point. So it does depend. But, you know, like, for example, I spoke to a new client yesterday and his diet is probably mainly processed foods. Okay, he is relying a lot on processed foods. So what I said to him was, we're going to look at just to begin with, just incorporating a portion of vegetables with your evening meal to begin with every day. That's your goal to begin with. And then we'll build on that. So it just all depends on your starting point. Whereas sometimes I'll have clients that actually are coming to me and they're eating a decent amount of fruit and vegetables, but they're possibly not eating enough other things. So they're not eating other things that are going to keep them satiated. So they will, you know, I'm eating lots of fruit, I'm eating lots of vegetables, but they're not getting enough protein. They're not getting enough, you know, as many other carbohydrates in their diet. So they're going hungry and they're craving sugar. Okay. So it just does depend. It might not mean that you need to necessarily include more fruit and vegetables. You might be needing to include more lean meats and, you know, so that doesn't answer your question specifically because it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because everybody's different.
It is. And I think, and part of the reason I asked that was just that exact reason, to illustrate the fact that there is the answer to improving your body composition is not eating clean. For one person, it may be that they just need to add in some additional nutritious foods. Maybe that their current diet is completely devoid of nutrition and they really do just need to add in. And one of the things that I'd like to highlight with what you said, and we've talked about this before, is focusing on what can I add rather than what can I take away. So when you start thinking, well, I could add some more fruits and vegetables to my diet, rather than thinking, okay, I should take away potatoes. Or I should take away bread.
It's like, potatoes are amazing.
But you know, we often get we get fixated on this idea that I have to cut out bread. I have to cut out cereal. I have to cut out potatoes. I have to cut out this, rather than saying, well, what can I add? Because often when we start adding things in, let's say that a person does struggle with eating too much bread. That would be me. Because I do. I tons of bread, and I probably eat more than I really need, but I really enjoy it. But I do find that if I add in other things, then I tend to eat less bread. And so if bread is truly an issue for you, where you're eating, let's say you're eating 1500 calories worth of bread a day, it's probably more than most of us need. But if I add in something, rather than think I have to cut out bread, if I just think I add in something, well, now I may not even desire as much bread. I may not have room in my during my meals for that much bread. And so that's just a simple example there. When you think from an additive, positive approach, then you don't get stuck on this negative kind of, what do I have to take out? What do I have to take out?
Yeah. And I think there's a two-pronged approach there. So absolutely, there is this whole idea of when you start to add things in, you will find that you're probably not eating as much bread, etc. But the other thing as well is that when you start to look at it from an approach of what do I need to add rather than what I need to take away, you're also not then thinking bread's bad and I shouldn't have it. Because this is a lot of the reason why a lot of my clients overeat on bread, is because they're seeing it as something that is bad or something to avoid. So they end up, wanting it more. And so choosing it more in rebellion, or because they feel like it's the only time they're going to get to eat it, and then they end up eating more of it because they think I'm going to start restricting it again. So it's about, again, it's about the physical actions that we take in terms of including more variety, but it's also about your mindset and what is going on as well. So for example, I had a client recently and she said to me that she didn't feel good when she was eating lots of cereal in the morning, but she was doing it because she liked cereal and she'd been restricting it for so long. And then when she was I've realized it doesn't make me feel good. And I was like, okay, so that's good. So maybe you don't need to be having it every day. Maybe you need to be mixing it up and putting some fruit in there, so you're having a bit less, So it's about not taking things away. It's about what we can add. Absolutely. Yeah. And this is my issue with clean eating, is it usually means I'm going to tell you can't eat something.
Right. Yeah. And that's like we said, sometimes people approach it from that more positive mindset, but more often than not, it's what do I have to cut out? What's bad? And so again, that's just, let's try and avoid that. Let's make this year, 2021, the year that you don't get caught up in the clean eating diet mentality starting January 1, fill up your pantry before January 1 and binge on all this junk stuff, and then clean it all out, throw it in the trash and replace it with only the clean stuff on January 1st. Don't do that.
Exactly. If you want to make changes, I get that. I hear you, but just focus on before we move on to, I think we should talk about detox, and it leads on quite nicely for that. But I do just want to talk about one of my clients actually. And because she actually said to me yesterday, because I feel so pleased that I'm not going to be starting the new year thinking, oh, new year, new me, I need to diet. She says she's moving house and it is a new start for her. And she says, and I feel like I can focus because I'm not worrying about my diet and what I need to eliminate in January. Mm-hmm. I can focus on you know, what? I'm still working with this lady on her diet. What we've done is we've worked on all of the mindset stuff. We've worked on all of the stuff that was holding her back mentally and psychologically. She still needs to make some improvements to her diet. So we've talked about things she can start adding in. So in our last session, I was talking to her about legumes and beans and lentils and oily fish that she was lacking in her diet. So once Christmas is over, because right now she just wants to relax and enjoy Christmas, yep, we're going to look at what she can start incorporating, and we're going to take it one meal at a time. But because we've worked on the mindset stuff, she's going into the new year with the right frame of mind, and we're going to then, like I said, incorporate the things that she needs to include.
Yeah, well, that's just such a great approach, and a healthier overall approach, just mentally, psychologically, emotionally, all of socially.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that does lead us nicely into the next topic we were going to talk about, which was detoxes, because this is another thing that's so common this time of year. You see, this is when the MLM people come out with their detoxes that they're pushing on people, and with claims that you can lose all this weight, you know, get a healthy start to the new year and drop 15 pounds in 2 weeks and this kind of thing. So what are your thoughts on detoxes, cleanses, these rapid getting started approaches?
My first question is always, what are you trying to detox? Mm-hmm. What toxins are you actually trying to eliminate? And interestingly, there was a study that was done, and it looked at a lot of these detoxes, and it actually identified that a lot of the products, a lot of the companies that were selling these detoxes had no idea what toxins they were supposed to be eliminating.
Yep.
Never mind having no idea whether or not they worked, because how do they know if they worked? And they don't. At the end of the day, your body does a very good job of detoxifying itself. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got everything you need. You've got your liver, your kidneys. You've got everything you need to detoxify. You do not need to be going on a detox to do it for you.
Yeah. And now, what if your liver isn't working right? Then what are these detoxes good for that? Maybe your liver isn't functioning well, and so do they help detoxify you?
What the detoxes? Do they help to?
If your liver isn't functioning right?
Well, if your liver isn't functioning, then you should be getting medical treatment.
Exactly. Yeah, that was sort of a silly question to make a point there. But yeah, our bodies are designed to get rid of these toxins, and a few substances aren't going to suddenly make it get rid of toxins. Like you pointed out,
it's a good point what you said there, though, about your liver not functioning, because you would go and you would seek medical advice. You wouldn't go on a detox. So why would you go on a detox? Because you think you've had too much alcohol or eaten too many bad foods over Christmas. You know, your body do its job. The best thing you can do is to feed your body well, nurture it, make sure that it is as de-stressed as possible. Make sure that you're eating regularly and getting the nutrients that you need. And then your body will be functioning optimally. And when your body is functioning optimally, it does its job for you.
Yeah. Now, well, how do these detoxes work? Because some people swear by them. They will take the detox, and then in 2 weeks they've dropped 15 pounds. So why would that not be a good thing? It kickstarted things. This person lost all this weight. It would have taken, you know, 2 months to lose that if you just went with changing up your eating. How does that work then? Because they do, you know, they work, right? They change the scale number.
Oh, that's exactly what they do.
You feel
they
less bloated, right?
Because basically, as you know, that usually they eliminate carbohydrates, and you basically are depleting your body of its glycogen stores when you go on a detox. So it's water weight, basically.
Yeah.
And you see a big drop in the scales, but it's not fat loss, it's water loss. And then as soon as you start to eat normally again, what happens?
Yep.
This is why people get so despondent. They go, oh, I've lost like 6 pounds in 6 days. And then as soon as they go back to eating again, because a lot of these detoxes are juices or shakes, etc. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is some, you know, there is a lot of people will say that they feel better when they have a detox. But I would say 9 times out of 10, that's because they are getting a lot more micronutrients from doing some of these cleanses, etc. So again, it does come to focus more on including you know, more micronutrients in your diet, focus more on getting some fresh whole foods in your diet, but you do not need to be detoxing. You know, you don't need to be detoxing A, to lose weight, or to actually detoxify, because it's not doing that. There's no evidence to show that any detox does detox, because right. your body does it for itself. And the weight loss is not weight loss, it's water loss.
Yeah, well, and it also gets some of that food residue out of your body too, which yeah. if you just simply start eating a little bit more fiber, those kinds yeah. of things, it's going to have the same effect, and not as dramatically and as explosively, possibly, when you talk to people who've done these detoxes, it can certainly clean you out much quicker than you might have expected.
To keep basically, you know, at the end of the day, what we need to be focusing on is making sure that people are. It's like it comes back to exactly what I said before, Jeff, about making sure that you are keeping your body working as optimally as possible all the time by eating, you know, eating well, giving it what it needs, eating regularly, giving it the nutrients it needs. And then it will work. It will, you know, things will pass through your body. Things will detoxify themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think it's this whole thing of people think, oh, I need to go on a detox because it's going to help me shift all of that weight that I lost like it always does before. But think about it. I would urge anybody, and like I always, because at the end of the day, a detox, a cleanse, is just another fad diet.
Right.
And I always urge any clients when they come to me, look at your diet history. Write down every diet that you've done. And I want you to look at how much weight you lost and then how much you regained. And if you think, if you are constantly regaining weight that you've lost, then it's not working. And you need to be looking at long-term things that you can put into place. You do not need to go so extreme. You do not need to go on a severely restricted diet, you know, to detox and feel better. I mean, because let's be honest, most people are doing these detox diets, not because they really, not really to, you know, eliminate toxins, because they want to lose weight because they feel bad for anything right. that they've indulged on. Mm-hmm. Okay. But trust your body, allow your body. You think about, right. Okay. And I was talking to this about this yesterday. You think about Christmas Day, right? You overeat. If you don't, you haven't enjoyed it, right? What always happens on Boxing Day? Everyone wants to go for a massive walk or do something because their body is saying, you had too much yesterday. You need to burn some energy off.
Yeah.
Because your
yeah.
body will make up. If you let your body do what it's supposed to do, it will naturally find where it's supposed to be. And your weight, mm-hmm. again, your weight is never fixed. Your weight is transient over a period of time. You know, your weight should go up by a few pounds over the course of a year, depending mm-hmm. on what's going on. Your weight should go up a little bit over Christmas. But if you're not then going on another diet, you know, if you're not going in the issue is, and we've seen this in some studies, is that a lot of people will gain weight over Christmas and then never end up losing it and then gain it gradually over time. And these are people that are dieting constantly and then Christmas comes, so they let all of the restrictions down and so they overeat. Then the new year comes and they try and diet again and they can't stick to it. So over time, it's the dieting mindset that ends up leading to gradual weight gain and people being above their natural set point when it comes to their weight.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, when we look at when these detoxes and cleanses are most popular, it's around the holidays. It's around yeah. Vacations. People will come back from a vacation and they detox or cleanse. After Christmas, they detox or cleanse. And what I often tell people is, you know, they'll talk about how they gained 5 or 6 or 7, 10 pounds over the holiday. And I'll say, you know what? Or coming back from vacation, I'll say, you know what? Don't panic. We don't need to do anything drastic. Go back to what you were doing before that was that you, those habits, those behaviors that you had gotten into, and watch what'll happen. That weight will probably fall off very quickly because it's not typically all body fat that you put on. It's additional food in your system from eating more. It's maybe you weren't as hydrated. And so your body's holding on to more water. And I find, you know, when drink some water, get back to your exercise, you start to burn off that extra glycogen, which is that storage form of carbohydrate that stores water with it, which adds that water weight. So all of these things can happen where you don't have to go drastically use some kind of cleanse or detox. And And you'll see that scale number often just drop right back down if you don't panic with it. If you did gain a couple of pounds of body fat over the holiday, no big deal. You can, that'll come off too once you start getting back to the way that you were doing things before. If you don't panic, again, if you start panicking and beating yourself up, start trying to restrict. We know that it has the opposite effect.
The thing is, I think what people misunderstand, you know, weight gain, weight loss, weight gain and weight loss, sorry, is not this overnight thing, phenomenon that we believe. The problem is, and my client this morning was just saying this, she's like, you know, when I used to go to Slimming World, the problem with Slimming World is that it promises you quick fixes. It promises you that you're going to lose weight fast. So you get into this mentality that weight loss, weight gain is something that just happens overnight. And it really isn't fat loss, fat gain. It really, really isn't. The number on the scales, yes, it's supposed to fluctuate. And it can, it will fluctuate depending on what you've eaten, depending on whether you've been to the toilet. If you've had more salt, people sometimes say, I had a takeaway and I gained like 6 pounds. No, you probably just ate a lot more salt than usual. So you are, you know, if you eat salt, you retain water. You know, so it's transient, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, looking at the scale weight is just not useful. We need to look at it, not you know, unless you're looking at it over a period of time. Looking at just, you know, single arbitrary readings on the scale is just pointless. And like I said, like you said, if you have overeaten over a period of a couple of weeks, you're not necessarily going to have gained, you know, fat automatically. And when you start to just get back to your normal ways, it will all balance itself out. And I've had clients that have said the same. They've gone like, oh, I didn't stress. I just came back. I went back to my normal ways and the weight did come off, you know? And it's like, whereas before they'd say I'd come back, I'd diet, I'd lose the weight, but then I'd put it all back on again. Because as soon as you start restricting, you start eating again. And it's just a vicious cycle. How about we just accept our weight will fluctuate. If we go on holiday, if it's Christmas, our weight will fluctuate a bit. Then when it's normal life, etc., your weight will get back to where it's supposed to.
Yeah.
If your weight doesn't go up by a pound or two over Christmas or on your birthday or when you go on holiday, then you're not making the most of it. You know?
Yes, definitely.
And this is where it's so important to see that food, you know, it's more than just something to keep you fueled. It's something that, you know, is so intertwined with, like I've said already, you know, our social lives, our emotional lives, or well-being.
So yeah, well, it's frustrating to see this time of year that I think we see that the most popular diets or the most popular approaches are those that make the claim of how much weight you can lose in X amount of time. We see it on the magazine covers, all of this thing. So the emphasis is on the speed at which we can lose weight if we go on this particular diet or use this particular approach. And so that's what it's kind of that shiny toy, that shiny thing that everybody is looking for. It's like, oh, well, this diet claims I can lose 5 pounds in a week. This diet claims I can lose 10 pounds in the week. So I'm going to go on that one because I would rather lose 10 than 5. And it makes sense how people can get caught up in that mentality. And we all know year to year, it just seems to be that continues to happen over and over again. And you get caught up in this mentality of I need to find the reason that I'm still struggling with my weight is because I haven't found the perfect diet yet. And there's very, all of the nutrition science and research that's going on now is finding the small little tweaks here and there. All the core stuff, all the big bang for the buck, low-hanging fruit things, we already figured that out, right? I mean, we figured out what the things that are going to have the biggest impact. And that's, you know, try and have less processed foods as the bulk of your diet. Eat more fruits and vegetables, eat plenty of protein, all of those things. That's not going to change. That they're not going to suddenly come out next year and with some groundbreaking research that finds that, oh, if you eat this particular substance, that now none of this other stuff matters anymore.
No, because I'll tell you one thing as well is, yes, the principles, stick to principles, don't stick to rules. Stick to guidelines, do not stick to rules is what I always say to clients. And the thing is, as well, is, you know, a few things that you said there is the other thing that's coming out more and more in research as well is that everybody is different and a personalized approach is always best. So everybody, you will respond differently to carbs. than I do, okay? But we don't know enough about personalized nutrition right now to know what the perfect makeup of the diet should be. That's about, you've got to work that out for yourself. You know, you've got to look at the guidelines, look at what the evidence does say, and then it's trial and error. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's where a nutritionist can help. But I think as well, what you mentioned about, you know, no new research is going to come out with some magic formula tomorrow. I think that is so important, is that, you know, there is no, it's boring. It's straightforward. I'm sorry. And it, and it, you know, it is about you. There is no off the shelf diet that's suddenly going to get you ripped and, you know, and healthy and wonderful. And, you know, it's, you've got to just be your own nutritionist in many ways. Mm-hmm. It's not glamorous. It's not funky. It's just sticking to the basics, being consistent, and find out what works for you. The problem is we live in a society where we want everything now. And if something's packaged up and is shiny and golden, we think, I'll have a bit of that. But when will we learn? When will we learn that all it is doing is confusing us and it's making us lose trust in our own bodies? And the problem is, and this is the problem with diets, is that from the very first diet you go on, it will start to make you lose trust with your own body. So that's when you become more and more susceptible to believe in all of the hype.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And something else, you know, we talk about kids on here a lot. What does this mentality, this approach, how does that impact your kids? Because some person, a parent may approach this for themselves in one way that seems to work for them. But what kind of an impact is that having on their kids and their kids' mindset around food and their mentality when it comes to physical activity and exercise and all of these other aspects? What is that doing to the rest of your family? And I think that that's sometimes something that is very often overlooked, is when we're a parent, it's not just about us. It's not just about our kids either. If we neglect ourselves and make the center of the universe revolve around our children, that's also a problem. But at the same time, when we approach our health and our nutrition and our fitness from the standpoint of, well, this is my fitness journey and I need to do what's best for me, often that is not the best thing for the entire family, for your spouse, for your children. And so we do have to sometimes think of that in that context. And the approaches that you've talked about are so important because they will work for everybody. If you take that approach that you've been talking about here today and in other episodes and on your social media, this more easy approach like that, that it's going to be a safe approach to take with your kids too.
The problem is it is the easy and the straightforward approach, but it isn't, because people have to unpick a lot of misinformation, a lot of confusion, a lot of habits and beliefs that have been built up over time. And like you said, I think what you said about this is my fitness journey and I'm not going to, you know, I've had clients that have come to me and I could cry. You know, I've had mums that have come to me and they've said, I'm not eating with my family. I'm not eating with my children because my PT has told me I can only eat 800 calories a day. And my 800 calories a day doesn't allow me to have spaghetti bolognese with my kids. Now, you know, that is not healthy for you. Yep. That is not healthy for your children. It's not healthy for your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. It's.
I think if you're taking a journey, if you're understanding and realizing, you know, that this is a journey, it's a process, you can absolutely take your family along with you when you are focusing on the right things, you know?
Exactly.
Because again, it will fit into your children's lifestyle. It'll fit into your lifestyle. I'm not saying you always have to eat exactly what your children eat. Of course not, you know, but it is about modeling, you know, and it's about instilling those healthy habits and behaviors. And we've talked about this a lot on other episodes, but, you know, I think that's a great point. Great point.
Yeah, it's just the overall approach. We need to think about what this whole organic, clean eating, detox, cleanses, not only, you know, what does that do for us? Is it getting the effect that we think it is? And also, what's it doing to the rest of our family, our children, as far as what they're seeing, because you can think you're hiding it from your kids about what you're doing, but you're not. They're very observant. They're going to pick up on this. They're going to pick up on these things that we're doing, and we don't want them to get caught up in that diet culture mentality. You know, we were talking just earlier before we started recording this episode about that young girl who was 6 years old talking about how she had lost weight. And it's just not something that a 6 year old should be thinking about. That's not a concept they should be understanding at that point yet.
You have to be so, I mean, my kids are 7 and 10. If they've got no concept of, they've jumped on the scales before. They've seen, you know, they know mm-hmm. what, but they don't know anything. I'm so mindful because I'm a woman. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there are never days I feel bloated. I'm not going to sit here and tell you there are never days when I feel, you know, of course, I'm a human being. And even when you are comfortable in your own body, you're never 100% there. You're just resilient and you know, because every day you're fighting with, you know, fat phobia, you're fighting with diet culture. But I tell you what, there have been days when I've been sat here and I've been like, and I would never sit there and say to my kids, oh, I'm looking fat, mummy needs to cut back. I have to be mindful about it. So it's not like, it, you know, so it is about, it's not like overnight, suddenly it's all wonderful and, you know, it takes time. And I guess my point is that you've always got to be conscious and aware. And if you're conscious and aware, then you are going to do the best that you can.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to kind of sum up what we have been talking about in this episode is just think about how these things are impacting yourself, also the rest of your family. There's nothing inherently wrong with eating organic. In fact, it may be a little better for you. There's nothing inherently wrong with trying to clean up your diet. There's nothing even inherently wrong with using a detox or a cleanse type approach to like get the extra food waste out of your system if you just happen to feel better with that. But don't be duped into thinking that this is going to be the magic bullet that gets you going in the right direction, that fixes, that improves the overall health of your body. And more often than not, these detoxes and cleanses, as much as somebody might like to think that they're the exception, it's just another way to reinforce that diet mentality, that restriction mentality, that quick weight loss mentality, that whole focus around everything revolves around the scale number, and it's just not healthy.
The only one thing, I just want to make one last point, is that what I have noticed more and more recently, though, is that people are becoming a bit more, the diet industry is mm-hmm. becoming a bit smarter,
yes.
and it is understanding that people are now realizing diets don't work. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things and a lot of products out there now that are saying, this is going to improve your health.
Right.
We're going to be healthier. And I'm finding that more and more at the minute. But it's exactly the same thing. They're just trying to remarket the same approach. Because I had someone the other day who was talking to me about some shakes. But they've got all the nutrients I need. They're healthy. They're going to boost my metabolism. They're going to make, you know, no, eating some more fresh fruit and vegetables and not spending a blooming fortune on something that's probably not even biologically available to you. And what we mean by that is there are lots of, you know, products out there that actually say that they're going to give you X, Y, and Z, but actually your bodies cannot metabolize or process them.
Yep.
So, you know,
good point.
Focus on the basics, you know. Start getting, you know, even when something's telling you it's going to support your health and your well-being, but it's asking you for a lot of money for a product that contains nutrients that you can get just by going down the fresh fruit or even frozen fruit and veg aisle, for a fraction of the price, you know, and you're going to actually get enjoyment out of eating food rather than just having a shake that's just got no, you know, benefit necessarily. But anyway, I just wanted to just make that point that a lot of people are now going on the, you know, this is going to be a healthy way of life. But often it's still a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that's a good place to leave off this discussion for today. I think we had a good talk about some of these things. Again, if you're thinking about a detox or a cleanse as kind of that silver bullet to get started on this new year, maybe rethink that and focus on these basics.
And I just want to say as well, for anyone who is listening, is that I'm going to be doing a workshop in January, mm-hmm. and it's going to talk about the things that you do need to be focusing on, okay, rather than worrying about another detox and another cleanse, etc. I have done a couple of other workshops previously that look at on the mindset side of stuff, but mm-hmm. in January I'm going to do a workshop that looks more about what you should be focusing on in order to feel your best. Feel good food for busy people, I think I've called it. So.
Yeah, and definitely anybody who's listening, check out these workshops. These are phenomenal, and I've had the opportunity to sit in on them also, and the content is very good. There's been some great discussions too with the other attendees, so it's not just Rebecca talking to you over Zoom. It's actually her talking and getting some good interaction from everybody, and it's as hands-on as you can get from a Zoom workshop. So they've been excellent, so definitely check those out.
Thanks Jeff, I appreciate that feedback.
All right, well, we have had another great discussion today, and we look forward to talking to you all again about another topic next week.
Yes, cool. Thanks Jeff.